I'm the president and CEO of the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce and the treasurer for the CIB, in charge of putting the Monroe Convention Center expansion project together. It's our great friend Eric Spoonmore. Good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
Hey, Glass. I am doing great. Back from a nice, restful, relaxing vacation up in northern Michigan last week. So batteries are recharged and doing well, except for this heat. I wish we could cool things down a little bit, but it sounds like that's coming.
Tomorrow.
Some of that northern Michigan air back with me down here to southern Indiana.
Yeah, let it out of the trunk, man. I know you brought some back with you, but it will be here again, barely 80 tomorrow, and then in the 70s on Saturday and Sunday. What was the weather up there in the Uper?
You know, it's always like paradise, and we go up there every time this year. You get into the mid to high 70s, and sometimes you even occasionally can get the lows down into the high 40s and lower 50s. It feels like fall, and so we always love going up there. It's a family tradition of ours that we enjoy doing every summer, and always look forward to going back.
Now we have to get him out of bed tomorrow morning when the alarm clock goes off, and I can see my wife just shaking her head at me. She's like, "Well, you're not going to help. You're not going to help at all." Well, I let the early birds handle the early birds, but getting everybody in the new routine. We still have a ton of projects going on. The Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce is always busy. The Convention Center project is moving along as well. Let's just start with the business. We feel, at least I feel, when the kids go back, it's kind of the beginning of our new year. What's the business community? I know they're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but do they have that new sense too? Hey, we've got students going back to school. We've got students returning to Indiana University. We've got this big project going on. Everybody should be excited.
Yeah, it really is. This is the time of year where you start to see that that infusion of energy coming back into the community after everyone's had kind of a break over the summer. Of course, this is the big turnover season for a lot of our landlords and rental agencies, and so they're working extended hours to get places, apartments turned over for the students to move into. And you know, it's hot out there. That's very hard work. So we appreciate everything that we're doing here in the community to get ready to bring the students back. We love to have the students in town. Indiana University is such an important part of our business community and our economy here. And, you know, it's always nice to see the school year getting started off on a good foot. And I have no doubt that'll be the case this year.
Absolutely. And we did the story last half hour of Mitch Daniels, Mike Pence, Eric Holcomb, all the governors and former governors. Well, there's some other titles to throw along with Vice President Pence, obviously. But getting the I-69 final connection piece to 465, how important is that for our local economy? I know there were people that questioned, well, you know, the interstate's going to bring problems and all of the. What have we learned with Interstate 69? And now that it's almost complete, you can get to downtown Indianapolis in about 40 minutes.
It is. You know, it's been a real game changer, I think, in terms of economic development and just opportunities for our community. I know it was a very controversial topic at the, you know, when we initially had those conversations early on. But, you know, I can't think of any infrastructure project that has had a more positive impact on the economy for the state of Indiana and here in our region than I-69. And when everything gets fully connected, you've got a corridor now that Bloomington can really leverage between Indianapolis all the way down to Crane, and we're sitting there right in the center. And there's a lot of important defense tech work going on at Crane, a lot of research in those areas happening here at Indiana University, and a lot of entrepreneurship and innovation going on at the mill. And then, of course, you've got all the resources of Indianapolis and the universities up there that are doing research. So this is something that I really think is a huge opportunity for Bloomington. You know, when we have the ability to get between the major defense activities that are happening in Crane and all the federal dollars that are flowing through there, this gives Bloomington a really great opportunity to situate ourselves for future economic success. And kind of innovate in a way that we can take advantage of all those opportunities.
Eric Spoonmore is the president and CEO of the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce. August is a busy month for everybody, and the chamber is busy. You have business after hours coming up on the 15th, so that's going to be a week from tomorrow. You've got the Women Excel Bloomington Awards going on. Heck, you've got your big annual meeting coming up in September. Well, it's just exhausting. There's too many things going on. We're throwing school and the students coming back, and football season, and the Olympics are good. There's a million things happening, so it is definitely exciting time.
Yeah, all these fun events are what makes it so exciting to be a part of the chamber, and love engaging with the community. So, the business after hours is going to be fantastic this month. It's out at Stonecroft Health Campus, as you mentioned, on Thursday the 15th. So we're already seeing huge numbers of registrations for that. Then the Women Excel Bloomington Awards, one of my favorite events that we do every year. Of course, this is the big annual event where we recognize women leaders here in the Bloomington community. And this year we have five. Leslie Abshire is the Vice President of Resource Development over at the Boys and Girls Club of Bloomington. She's on the chamber board as well, too. So super excited for Leslie. She's a great friend and, of course, very deserving, as all these women are, of these awards. Michelle Cole, she's one of the partners over at Paragraph, and she does a lot of work out at the mill and was involved with Visage Technologies before. And then Sherry Dunbar-Cruzan, another common well-known name in the community. She's Talent Development Recruitment Manager over at Tassus Corporation. And she's also going to be the Lifetime Achievement Award winner. She was bestowed that honor, so we'll get to honor Sherry for that very important award. And then Dr. Gloria Howell, she's the director of the Neil Marshall Black Culture Center at Indiana University. A lot of us know Gloria very well. And then Samantha Moran is the executive director at Village Caregiving. So that rounds out the five Women Excel Bloomington Award winners this year, and we cannot wait to celebrate them again here on August 22nd, and that will be down at the Woolery Mill down on the south side of Bloomington. Fantastic location. So that'll be a nice, fun party. And then, yeah, you mentioned the annual meeting. That's going to be here before we know it, the 109th annual meeting of the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce. And we do lots of it's actually a celebration and a community awards that we'll be doing there as well, too. So we'll be able to honor all of our Educator of the Year award recipients, our 4 Under 40 award recipients, our Business of the Year, our Lifetime Achievement award recipient, among numerous other awards that we'll be doing at that event. And it's going to be an evening event this year. It's usually a lunch event. So we're changing things up a little bit.
Productivity is up. Productivity is up.
That's right. We're expecting a big crowd as always. You can only cram about 600 people into that small convention center we have, but we will have it packed to the gills on Thursday, September 26th for that evening event. Doors will open at 5:30, and it'll be about a two-hour program. We're very delighted that Vanessa Green Senders will be
From the Indiana meeting. Chamber of Commerce. Yeah,
yes, she is the new president and CEO of the Indiana State Chamber of Commerce. I cannot remember the last time we had a visit from the Indiana State Chamber president, and I've had numerous conversations with Vanessa. She is a dynamo, and so I can't wait to introduce her to the Bloomington community on a big stage on September 26th at our annual meeting.
Yeah, she's been on our program a couple times. We've had a chance to meet her after she took over for Kevin Briniger, who retired at the end of last last year. So, yes, she is full of energy and excitement, and it's great to have that partnership and resource. Is this a dinner event, cocktail event, heavy hors d'oeuvres? What are we going to do?
Yeah, we'll do dinner.
We got to have food,
nice,
don't we?
Dinner and a program. There'll be a little cocktail hour at the beginning, you know, for some networking time. So yeah, it'll be a really nice event, I think. And it's nice to kind of switch things up from time to time. You go from lunch to dinner occasionally. So it'll be fun. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah. No one has to hurry back to the office or worry about that phone buzzing at that time of the day. We hope. So it's again, the fellowship that goes with that as well. You talked about networking, but just having the business community come together and enjoy those presentations that's coming up. Again, the end of September, so if you've not joined the chamber yet, you may do so, then be able to participate, right? It's easy
come
as
well. Yeah,
pick
right.
up the phone.
Pick up the phone, give us a call. We'd love to talk about membership anytime. Of course, we're hovering right at about 850 total members right now, and we're always looking to grow. So there's strength in numbers, we know that, and we're looking to grow and help people with their businesses.
And speaking of growing the convention center and fitting everybody in there, you serve as the treasurer for the CIB for folks that are maybe just getting back from their last summer hurrah before school starts. Where do we stand on our construction partners? What is the next step? I saw a bunch of folks, and now I'm getting out of line here, at the old Napa building today at 302 South, what would that be, South Walnut Street. It looks like stuff's getting moving along.
Yeah, you know, the Capital Improvement Board, which is the public entity that is responsible for the Convention Center expansion project, has had a very productive summer. I have the honor of being a member of the Capital Improvement Board, serve as the treasurer. I have just been so impressed with the leadership of John Weikart as the Capital Improvement Board president, being able to get so much on our agenda, so many decisions made, and really getting this project going forward in a momentous way. So we've got contracts in place with our construction manager, Weddle Brothers, of course, a very well-known local constructor. They're going to be terrific. Done a lot of large-scale projects here in the community and elsewhere, and especially over at Indiana University. So really looking forward to working with them. We've got our contract in place with our architects, which is Smith Associates. They're based out of Indianapolis. But again, just a world-class, first-rate, renowned architecture firm that's going to give us something that this community is going to be super proud of. And so right now we're working with Schmidt and their team to kind of go through the initial design phase of this project. And that takes a bit of time. That'll take about, probably every bit of 6 months. And it involves a lot of community engagement. Last week there were a series of meetings over at the Convention Center with a lot of different stakeholder groups that Schmidt was working with, getting feedback on kind of concepts and what the community really wants to see with the design and the footprint of this convention center. So I know those were all very productive meetings. We're making great progress. And kind of the next big step that we're kind of watching for is getting the bond issued. And so that is the debt that would be put into place based on the revenue stream that the food and beverage tax is producing. And so the food and beverage tax is the main revenue source for this project. It's the only revenue source for this project, actually. And so we would bond for it based on that revenue, future revenue streams. And right now we're kind of projecting, you know, somewhere between, and the financial advisors will give us a better, more clear, accurate picture of what this is going to be down the road, but we're projecting somewhere between $60 and $70 million of bonding capacity for this particular project. So that's kind of the budget that we're initially looking at here. And again, we'll get that more firmed up as we start working with the bankers and the bond agencies and the financial advisors and so forth. But once we get that bond issued, it's all go from there, and that's when the construction will start. And we're looking at a timeline now of the end of 2026 to have everything open and going. If we can stay on schedule, it should be a pretty quick process in terms of what the scale of this project. It's a big project, so 2.5 years is a pretty good time frame to hope that we get all of that completed in.
Eric Spoonmore is the president and CEO of the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce. Now let's talk about money for a minute, because that's where, I don't want to say things get uncomfortable, but do we have enough? Are we going to be, what is the wish list? Where do we trim the wish list? What can we bond for? What can't we bond? I know that process is a little bit more detailed than a couple minutes on the radio with me, but just give the general public, this is not going to be a $200 million project, is it?
No. Yeah, and there's just...
The money comes from a source. You only have so many dollars.
Right. And so the way that this all kind of started back in 2016 is when the food and beverage tax was passed by the county council. Now, that's the 1% tax that everybody pays on prepared food and beverage when they go out to eat. And so that money up to this point has accumulated about $19 million that is just sitting in the food and beverage tax account waiting for this project to start so that we can start paying for construction and so forth. So there's that. There's about $19 million in cash right there. Then you get the bond on top of that, which you will bond out for about a 20-year bond is what we're looking at, and that would produce another sum of close to $50, $60 million. So that's the total that we're looking at, that money that we have currently in the cash balance of the food and beverage tax account that's already been collected over the last 6 years or so, and then the future bond that will be issued based on future revenue streams of the food and beverage tax. So total project cost, again, $60, $70 million, and that's it. That's what we have to work with. There's not an appetite from anybody on the Capital Improvement Board, or I haven't heard any elected officials at all express a desire for going back to the public to ask for more money for this project. So we have a budget that we have to work within. We know there's a lot of ideas, and really good ideas, on what we want to incorporate into this convention center. The city council had actually sent a very thoughtful memo with 22 recommendations that they had for various design features and things related to the convention center. Of course, a lot of these things cost money, and you have to kind of evaluate what can you afford, what can you not afford, and you try to meet as many of the goals as possible given the constraints that you're working in. And sometimes it's a little bit of a give and a take, and you have to compromise from here and there. But, one thing is for sure, we know we can't do every single thing that everybody right. wants to do. And so there's going to be some times where you have to make some tough decisions and get the most bang for your buck. And that's our duty to the taxpayers.
Is the bang for the buck size matters because of the – I've talked to Mike McAfee, and we have to turn down groups of X size because we just don't have that room. Is it getting the square footage to host that sweet spot of what we're missing out on, or is it having all the new technology that goes along with I know this is a tough juggling act. I'm just trying for people that are just looking at this from 30,000 feet, trying to figure out what is necessary.
Yeah, and it is a mix of all of those things, and that's where the really tough decision-making comes in to play. When you talk about square footage of this new facility, we've heard anywhere from as low as 40,000 on up to as much as 100,000. I think ultimately it's going to land somewhere in the middle. We've been looking at projections of 60,000 square feet or so, and I think that will allow us to do what we need to do to serve those groups that, we're trying to recruit and come here to visit Bloomington and hold their conferences and conventions here. You don't want to go all in on one of those components while kind of neglecting some of the other important things like the technology, like the design and what that's going to look like and how it's going to fit in and interact with our downtown. We have to be taking all of these considerations under, you know, close advisement and close examination as we make these decisions. And, you know, it's not easy, that's for sure, but we want to make sure that we're being accountable to our taxpayers. Those are precious tax dollars that they have given us to make these decisions and provide a product to the community that they're going to be proud of for generations to come. And so that's, you know, always in the back of my mind.
The taxpayer dollar, very important, and so is the growth of our region and our business community and a hotel and parking garage and all the other fun stuff that's going to come along with that. Do you have that on the timeline when you want those partnerships done and dusted? How does that work?
Yeah, you know, that's another. I forgot to mention the hotel.
Team game, buddy. I'm here to help.
Yeah, we have a number. I can't even remember how many interested hoteliers have submitted their responses to our request for qualifications. And so that's great. You know, that tells us in very clear terms that this is a market that big, successful hotel chains want to be a part of, and they see this as a great opportunity for them. So that's good. You know, the last iteration we went through with this whole thing, I think we had just two respond to it, and they weren't really all that impressive, as I recall. But so we've got some really good responses back, and we'll have to sift through all of those and just kind of, you know, determine who's going to be the best fit and the best partner in terms of an anchor hotel with this convention center. And there's a whole set of criteria that go along with that, but that'll be another decision before the capital improvement board that we'll be making fairly soon. So I would imagine here within the next several weeks, we should be getting much closer to having that finalized as well, too. And we do want to parallel the two projects. You know, we want the hotel going, the construction and coordination of all of that happening alongside the actual expansion of the new center, so that we can have both of those opening roughly around the same time. Ideally, I think we want the hotel to be able to open up first, but those are all things that our owner's rep and our construction manager can help advise us on more as we go forward.
All right, buddy, great job. Out of the frying pan into the fryer. That's what happens when you come back from a little vacation time. Good to hear the batteries are charged and ready to go. An exciting, a busy month of August, and it'll fly. It'll be Labor Day before we know it.
It will be.
But, again, download the app, head to the chamberbloomington.org, and you can find out all the great ways to be involved in our local business community. And we'll get caught up with you, buddy, before you know it, once the flood of students returns.
That's right. Yeah, looking forward to it. And we appreciate you and WGCL and all your listeners. Thanks for everything, Glass.